Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Break On Through. Here you can travel realms uncharted, blur the lines, break the chains, open yourself to possibilities waiting to be discovered on the other side. I am Pam Ray, and with me is my co-host, Intimidus Rex. Rex and I are poets on a website called All Poetry, with a group of poets called Late Night Poets. If you find that tonight's show is not your cup of tea, please check out our other shows. We have 1 to 2 shows per night on a variety of styles of topics and poetry, something to suit everyone's taste. Also, make sure when you get a chance to check out the poetry anthologies put out by Late Night Poets on Amazon, because when you purchase them, you not only get amazing poetry, you help support these radio shows. And hello, Rex. How's it going?
All right.
Good, good. Awesome. Well, we're also supposed to have Stelina join us. I do know sometimes she has internet issues and connection issues, but, you know, hopefully she will be able to join us soon. I also know that it's quite early in the morning where she is, so she might just be waking up with a cup of tea or you know, whatever it is she drinks to get her morning started. So we'll just have to and see, you know. So how's your weather treating you there?
Oh, 80.
That's decent. I think we got close to 80. I think we got to like about 77. You know, it was a nice warm day. Didn't get an opportunity to get out other than, to go get the mail or to chase the dogs back inside. But, you know, it was something. Nice, clear, beautiful day. I'm hoping tomorrow to be able to go for a walk with my daughter, but we'll see how that goes. I have lots of things planned for this weekend. Walks, writing poetry, judging contests. I'm going to attempt to make homemade pierogies.
Oh, yeah, that ought to be fun.
Yeah. Well, I'll just, you know, have to make sure to pray to my Polish ancestors and, you know, hope they give me the power to make pierogies, you know. So, yeah, I am actually, me and my daughter really both like pierogies, but I tend to buy them frozen, which is a good, easy meal and works really well. It's really yummy with Polish sausage. But, you know, we'll see how the homemade stuff goes. We have a great show tonight, a wonderful lineup of poetry. I see Robbie's poetry on the board, and hello, Robbie. Good to see you. Thank you for being here. We have two contests that we ran, and the first contest is music and surrealism, and we offered up, I believe, seven different classical music conductors or composers, not conductors, composers that had were greatly influenced by surrealism. And we offered up Bohuslav Martinu, Edgar Varese, George Antheil, Eric Satie, Francis Poulenc, John Cage, was probably the easiest name to pronounce in that whole one, and Henri Dutrelot. And forgive me if I've mispronounced any of those, but we offered up one of each of their songs, but also told people that they could choose any of their music to write to. I also ran a short 8 spots only contest with two pieces of surreal art done by the digital artist Cyril Rolando. And great turnout for both contests, wonderful responses, and I'm very much looking forward to tonight's show. So, and with that being said, I still don't see Stelina yet, but I will keep checking for her. And with that being said, let's go ahead and get the show started, Rex.
All right. Barton by Eric Swenson. And you have SoundCloud.
All right. And let's see here. Let me find that. And here we go.
Spartan, unbounded space between musical notes, restive pauses between breaths, your dreamy presence imbues the melody with meaning. Unbounded, each soft press sets my spirit free. No more turnpike hike over mountain peaks. Unbounded, grounded by you, ever watchful. Metronome precision of restive pauses. Unbounded, comfortable introspection clauses. Gentle swill of misty moors. Contented sighs void restrictive diction. Unbounded, love's youthful gymnopedias, tender presses upon ebony and ivory keys, assonance assuages breath. Unbounded, delightful days distilled, love's melody matured, unbounded, and poem.
Wonderful read and write there, Eric. Thank you for the SoundCloud. It is very much appreciated. And just a reminder, everyone, that if you are unable to call in, the next best thing is to make a recording of your poem, because then we get to hear your poetry in your voice. And Rex, your...
Well, the title offers up one thought, Spartan. You think of the warriors, the Spartan, the 300 at Thermopylae, but that's not exactly what the Spartan here is about. Spartan here is the smallness, which offers up the grandeur. It's the idea of less being more, that sort of unbounded, because he's rolled unbounded throughout this with each stanza, that idea of the space between musical notes, the rest of pauses between breath, that which helps expand the music so you can get that note to, what does he offer up with it? Gentle swirl of misty moors, contented sighs, void restrictive diction. The idea of being able to take the music itself and see, close your eyes and see within it what it offers up from one refrain to the next as it flows on down the line, and how it affects the mind, gives one mental images, and springs to mind that which one can roll into, like you get a nice roll off the off piano keys where it's rolling downhill. You can get that note to a burbling river or a flowing waterfall. That is the thought that Eric's imbuing here with that thought of unbounded, not being restricted in the moment. The Spartan, the less the sort of voice and words within it, but also the preludes, the ambles, the angle of intermission in between certain passages offers up the expansion of thought, giving one a full view of where the composer wants you to dip into or where you should dip into through your own mind.
I like that. I like that. Wonderful observations there on the idea of becoming unbounded and freeing the spirit. You know, one thing I learned, and I did not know this until I ran this contest, was that the Gymnopaedia was an annual festival celebrated exclusively in ancient Sparta. and helped to define the Spartan identity. It is derived from the ancient Greek word for gymnos, which means naked or unarmed, and paedia means child or youth. And I like how Eric has captured that spirit of freedom, that spirit of, you know, not caring what anyone else thinks, but just reveling in the moment of, you know, unbounded nakedness and a free spirit. I also thought he paid a wonderful tribute to the music. Out of all the songs, pieces of music we had up, this was the most written to one. And granted, it might have been because it was the shortest one. It was 3 minutes and 57 seconds compared to the other ones, which were anything from like 12 to 30 minutes. But still, it's a beautiful piece of music. And as I listened to it, I couldn't help but think of the idea of nature and experiencing the beauty of nature. And I think, you know, and the beauty of and festivity of life. And I think Eric's really captured that in unbounded, comfortable introspection clauses, gentle swirl of misty moors, contented sighs, void, restrictive diction. You know, wonderful lines all the way through and very well done. And what do we have next, Rex?
Continue the Gymnopedia with Gymnopedia by Myriad Dark. Lights shine on like endless echoes of a temple bell, and music, as it moves the world around and round the universe, it gathers up each aching soul with notes that glow and light the way, flowing deeply in and about us. Sounds that course all through my veins like a flock of winging birds, beckoning and cajoling me ever on and on, like a wayward summer breeze tapping on my window pane. It whispers and tempts me to follow as it dances there. Notes meander and sing with joy, touching hearts and autumn leaves. They lay in slumber at my feet, making cleaning up a chore. Stars alight with lantern glow are choral movements in the sky, calling out, come follow as you will now and forevermore. Once upon another time and place through a portal door, memories and symphonies all written down to play. An orchestra is tuning up, noting each music piece scored. I hear the forest call to me. Come listen as the music fades. And poem.
Wonderful read there, Rex. And I have to say, this is an absolutely stunning write. You know, I feel like this is an example of a poem where someone doesn't just listen to the music with their ears, but they listen with their heart. This is another one that's really captured the spirit of the music and exposes the human soul. I really particularly like notes meander and sing with joy, touching hearts and autumn leaves. They lay in slumber at my feet, making cleaning up a chore. Stars alight with lantern glow are choral movements in the sky, calling out, come follow as you will now and forevermore. And I like how that stanza there speaks to me on put aside the mundane of life, put aside the everyday, and come experience something new. I also really like once upon another time and place through a portal door, memories and symphonies all written down to play. You know, it's the music of life, the music of memories. And it actually makes me think, the line about the portal door actually makes me think of earlier church show, him and Babbler ran a contest with quotes by Aldous Huxley. And one of the quotes was, of course, his quote on the doors of perception. And I think this right fits so well in this show, but it also would have fit really well there, because there is that whole idea of how music opens up those doors of perception. So wonderful, right, and very well done. And your thoughts, Rex?
Well, like I hit on the thought with Eric's, this walks in that very same thought, the light shine on like an endless echoes of a temple bell. It's kind of a note to the ambience of the theater itself. And music, as it moves the world around and around the universe, it gathers up each aching soul with notes that glow and light the way, flowing deeply in and about us. There's that that thought right there. You've got the lights dimmed. You've got certain sections all lit up at the backdrop, and the music's flowing. So you close your eyes, and then it hits. Sounds that course off through my veins like a flock of winging birds. Again, comes from what you hear within the music, whether it's in the string section, the horns, or the brass, or in piano keys. So he's hitting on all those notes. It's like notes meander and sing with joy, touching hearts and autumn leaves. Again, that little rustle that you get with someone fluttering off the piano, you get that note to leaves rustling, or water, or anything else that comes to mind. It's sitting there enjoying it and living within it and understanding the music as a whole, as opposed to just pieces of it, because it takes each little section to make up the piece that flows like this.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I have to agree. I like that you spoke on the idea of understanding the music as a whole, you know, which is very important. You know, of course, you have to sometimes break it down into sections and learn them a little bit of time to get to the whole. But I think that is important. So wonderful thoughts shared there, Rex. All right. And what do we have next?
Melancholy Swell by Betty Page.
All right, here we go. Melancholy Swirls by Betty Page. Danced in my daydreams into starlight, caressing moonbeams, kiss at midnight. Dark violet blue, mystic's magic, sweet lullabies haze, whimsical swirls. In heart-shaped smoke rings, smitten in love, shimmering crimson, weightless sparkles, love's dark cherry kiss, sweetest danger, fiercely titillates my royal queen, enchanting goddess, allures vivid, illuminating, enticing high, dance in my daydreams into starlight, caressing moonbeams, kiss at midnight, dark violet blue, mystic's magic, sweet lullabies haze, whimsical swirls, and heart-shaped smoke rings, smitten in love and poem. And what an absolutely beautiful write by Betty Page. And your thoughts, Rex?
Someone would take the same piece, Jim the Beers, and offer up a different thought to it, the way it sings within the mind. Dance in my daydreams in the starlight, caressing moonbeams, kiss at midnight. Sort of offers up a magical note to color being a main part, dark blue, and then sort of a sweet lullabies haze, whimsical swirls. So something in the music itself offered up that note to something swirling in the moment, which offers up a not just the lullaby, but the haze in the moment. And it's a swirling magic. And she hits on the sort of the magic in this piece, enchanting. And the heart-shaped smoke rings, smitten in love, kind of finishes out the the magical tour that was within a mind.
Oh, definitely, definitely. Yeah, there is a sense of magic to this particular piece of music, and Betty's really captured that. She offers what I think is such a breathtaking sigh of emotion to the music and her interpretation of it. I love her imagery, dark violet blue, mystic's magic, sweet lullabies, haze, whimsical swirls. Sweet lullabies, haze, you can almost, and the heart-shaped smoke ring, you almost picture the idea of being in an opium den. I also like caressing moonbeams, kiss at midnight. There's a beautiful sense of just falling madly and deeply in love and being so captivated with that emotion that it becomes like a drug. So wonderful lines all the way through and very well done. And what do we got next?
We got Nocturnal Kingdom by Mystic Muse. As the moon melts into the mountains that rim the western sky, the trees become beasts, forming shadows that lurk like monsters emerging from a closet where light dares not tread. Charcoal clouds transform into witches or gnarly broomsticks gliding upon the sinister crackling wind. She stands just out the haven of her homestead, taking in the night as oxygen, watching the bubbles break the surface of the lake below. She sways back and forth to the rhythm of the overgrown thistles that cling to her PJs like lizards' claws. This is her domain, her nocturnal kingdom, and her portal to a universe that lies just beyond the dark horizon. Someday she will rule the nights, but for now, she's content to close her tired eyes and listen to the guiding wisdom of distant baying wolves. And poem.
Wonderful read there, Rex, and just an amazing write by Dave. And this was the first one on the board to take a different prompt than Gymnopedias by Eric Satie. He went with the Five Nocturnes Movements by Francis Poulenc, which I have to say I think was one of my favorite pieces. And he really captures the essence of the music, the darkness, the hauntingness of the melody. This is a beautifully written three-verse vignette with strong imagery throughout. And I really like this all the way through, but it was that third part that really spoke to me the most. She stands out just outside the haven of her homestead, taking in the night as oxygen, watching the bubbles break the surface of the lake below. She sways back and forth to the rhythm of the overgrown thistle that clings to her PJs like lizard claws. You know, I like that idea of somebody who is so connected with the night that they would wander out in their pajamas, you know, let the thistle cling to them, you know, and there's something about water at nighttime. It's so freakishly beautiful. You know, if you take a walk at night and you stare at the calm or just slightly rippling surface of a lake or a stream, it's so eerie, so spooky, and yet so beautifully fascinating. I also really like the ending, which she is content to close her tired eyes and listen to the guiding wisdom of distant baying wolves. And I think that's such an important part because it speaks on the idea that how important it is to not always listen to the chatter of mankind, but rather take time to listen to nature. So beautifully written and very well done. And Rex, you did a wonderful read of that. Your thoughts?
It's a triad of scenery that opens up with a softness as the moon melts into the mountain that rim, the mountains that rim the western sky. So you get a nice mellow and slow introduction, which opens up again into a touch of darkness in the second and third stanzas. The trees become beasts, forming shadows that lurk like monsters emerging from a closet where light dares not tread. Charcoal clouds transform into witches on gnarly broomsticks, gliding upon the sinister crackling wind. So you open up with a nice light note, which the tempo is increased, offering up the dark brooding atmosphere from there. And then it opens up again on something a little bit transformational, a peaceful angle. She stands just outside the haven of a homestead, taking the night as auctioning, watching the bubbles break the surface of the lake below. She sways back and forth to the rhythm of the overgrown thistles that cling to her PJs like lizard's claws. The lizard's claws hits on that note of something being aware of, but she's fully emoted into the emotion of the scene itself. And the finish out is the understanding of where it's going. This is her domain, her nocturnal kingdom, yet she is not ready for it. She's not yet old enough to take that note. And therefore, she is also content with the idea of needing sleep because her time is coming. And the finish with the baying of the wolves offer up not a cold note, but a warm note to that which she will one day end into as the queen of that realm.
I like that. I like that. That was a very thoughtful and thorough observations of the rite. Very cool. All right. What do we have next?
Mountain Melody, inspired by Poulenc, playing Poulenc's Nocturnes by Rose Winter. Have one time.
All right. Poulenc plays his piano music, Poulenc Nocturnes, setting a scene in my mind, rippling with the sound of running water, gushing down a mountainside, downstream melodiously, beautifully, a mounting peak in the Lake District, magical source of water bubbles rising from ancient rock face to start life, bottled in glass for people to drink, this lively stream becomes a fast-flowing river, youthfully dancing and weaving downhill. Hills of the north rejoice. Rainwater fills the river as it courses downhill towards the sea. End poem. And what an absolutely stunning rite. And your thoughts, Rex?
Saint Rose has tickled herself into the music that actually imbued her with the thought of the water itself, rippling with the sound of running water gushing down a mountainside. Melodiously beautiful. All right. There's that nice flowing edge. A mountain peak, magical source, water bubbles rising from ancient surface. So we're running in the water again, but in a different scene, a different take. It's gentle. It's ebbing. The note to start life, and then again. Right to the water and bottle and glass for people to drink. This lively stream becomes a fast-flowing river. So it's opening up once more, youthfully dancing and weaving downhill. So the life is running from the tallest peaks down into the valley itself. And then the hills of the north rejoice. Rainwater fills the river as it courses downhill towards the sea. Now the river, representation of more fresh water, but also fishing, and again towards the sea, offering up that note to more saltwater fish. So life all the way around, from the top of the mountain right out to the sea and back once more once it rains.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely wonderful comment. Yeah, I really like this one. I like how she starts it out with prolonged plays of piano music, prolonged nocturnes, setting a scene in my mind. And I think that's a wonderful opening line because, you know, it shows how music without lyrics can, you know, incite visions of, and, you know, it, within our minds and stories within our hearts. I really like how she connects us so much with the movement of water and the life-giving force of water. We actually have, I want to say it's about a 20-minute or so drive from here, one of those like artesian well places where the water comes out of the stone, the cliff, and people go there to collect the water. It's like just really fresh and pure and good. And, you know, this is beautifully written all the way through. But, you know, I do especially like hills of the north rejoice, rainwater fills the river. Wonderful words of celebration. And then how she brings in the sound of water, rippling with the sound of running water gushing down a mountainside, downstream, melodiously, beautifully. You know, there really is a sense of music to water. And I think Rose Winter has done a great job of capturing that. So excellent write and very well done. All right. And what do we have next, Rex?
The B-Train by Tom Kelly. Train runs through valleys and I'm chasing it, countryside of mines. Flying free in the wind and breeze, smoky landscapes with metronomes hammering their chisels and hammers with connivance in construction. Smoking chimneys and flowers, oh sweet, sweet flowers. I go from stigma, anther to anther, collecting pollen and the dust of life. Busy am I, flying speedily, heavy with pollen, sacks filled with industrial meanings, and high-handed testing as if they were by design. Nectar for my society, and then I get tired so quickly, from 100 to 0 in one movement. Adante, adagio, with purposeful strife and rhythm to get me along from one field to another, era to era, decade to decade, and I am a century old and thriving in a hive of like-minded country dwellers that don't think like me, apparently. Intersecticiding my thoughts, oh, bring sweet joy and heaven-scented roots for foraging. Let's get busy troops and get out there to hunt the meaning of countryside and expansion of metropolises all over the wheat and rape flowers. Lead the way into another dimension where the third act takes us into elevated anxiety of a mixed summer border with that train running in the background. I'll be late, very, very late, if I don't get on. An ever-changing landscape below me as I travel from here to there. There's a road with cars and lorries, canals with their long boats, all passing by beneath me, searching. Always I am searching for food, pollen, nectar, and purpose to keep me moving on forward before I am allowed to rest wearily like any good bee should be allowed to do. And one day, we'll find my third act closing with me silently on a flower soaked in the night's dew, forever in rest. End poem.
Great read there, Rex, and what a wonderful write by a Time Teller. I thought this one was very thoughtful and intelligent. Of course, it made me think of the song "Flight of the Bumblebee" or the music by what's that Russian composer, Rimakov or something. I'm pronouncing it wrong, but anyways, I know it's some Russian composer. I just can't quite think of his name. You know, because of the mention of the bee, I like the extended metaphor in this and how it uses the bee to represent a person that lives a long life and explores. I like how it speaks on sexuality and the need for connection and the need to populate the world. I go from stigma to stigma, stamen to stamen, anther to anther, collecting pollen and dust of life. Busy am I, flying speedily, heavy with pollen sex, filled with industrial meanings and high-handed testing, as if they were by design. And I like how this speaks on the simple bumblebee, and yet it speaks on the design of life and how it seems so perfectly planned, so perfectly thought out. There's a wonderful sense of spirituality, I think, to this rite. I also like the use of the word metronomes. I thought that was very cool. Flying free in the wind and breeze, smoky landscapes with metronomes hammering their chisels and hammers with conveyance in construction. And then great lines all the way through, really epic in its feeling. I also like the part where he says, era to era, decade to decade, and I am a century old, thriving in a hive of like-minded country dwellers that don't think like me, apparently, insecticiding my thoughts. I think that speaks on the whole idea of killing off individuality or killing off thoughts, not allowing a person to be themselves. I also really like how I think to me it speaks on the idea of finding your own purpose and realizing that and at the end realizing that it is okay to take time to rest. You know, you've done your part. You've been the good worker. Now it's time to just rest. And I feel like, of course, that flower soaked in the night dew forever in rest is a representation of that final rest, the coming of death, which is embraced and welcomed. So beautiful lines all the way through, a wonderful capture of the chosen prompt, which was prompt number one, I can't remember which one that is. Let me check here. You think I'd remember? Oh yes, that was, it was Sinfonietta in A minor, La Jolla by Bohuslav Martinu. A wonderful takeoff of that there, Time Teller. I'm glad you were inspired. And your thoughts, Rex?
Nikolai Rimsky-Korsakov, Flight of the Bumblebees.
Ah, yes, that's it. Thank you, Rex.
Ease in this is the metaphor, the B train, the B, and people as a whole. Train runs through valleys, and I'm chasing a countryside of minds. And TT rolls into this nectar for my society. I think at times we'll get it from 100 to 0 in one movement. Era to era, decade to decade. And I am a century old and thriving in a hive of like-minded country dwellers that don't think like me, apparently, insecticiding my thoughts. Now, the duality in that, overrunning the countryside instead of letting those fruitful plains offer up what they're supposed to offer up for both. Need bees. Bees are the pollinators. And the intersecticiding does offer up that note to hive-mindedness, killing off the singularity of one to make it a singular society itself, like-minded, but also insecticiding, killing off the bees. You kill off the bees, you kill off the pollinators, you disrupt the food chain for everybody, everything. Because without the bees, you don't have food. Now, that ending note, with me silent on a flower soaked in the night dew, that is the end of a bee. It doesn't make it back to its hive for the evening, and you find it the next day. Yes, it wore out its welcome, and that is that passing note, forever in rest on that flower, which I guess would be the the grand idea for being, hey, I'm fully loaded. I just had too much, couldn't make it home, and this is where my last place is. They find the next thing. And here, meaning of countryside and expansion of metropolis is all over the wheat and rape field flowers. Lead the way into another dimension where the third act takes us into elevated anxiety of a mixed summer border. With that train running in the background, I'll be late, very, very late if I don't get on. It's the idea. Constant movement, the need to a one-angle expansion and ruining those arenas, and the other one of if they're not moving, then they do die because they're not doing their job, which is to pollinate, bring back the pollen, so they've got food for the next generation coming forth.
You know, I like that, and I think that's a very important subject that you touch on because, you know, bees are an important part of the food chain, and they are, unfortunately, dying off. And as much as progress is important, sometimes progress is the death of what's even more important, you know. And so great observations there, Rex. Very cool. And all right. What do we have next?
Ionization isolation to ionization celebrations. Oh, Jenny the Deep.
Wow, now that was a title that was a mouthful. Very cool. All right. Isolation drumming in my head, banging and clicking, bringing me back from hell. Ionization harming my brain cells, making me long for death. Slowly the pounding turns suave and domineer, bringing joyous music to my ominous ears, rejoicing and dancing in my runaway tears. I let the percussion slam away my secret fears. Headaches turn to harmonizing melodies, terrifying nightmares become pleasant memories, letting me dream of tomorrow in peace. Ionization beats take control of my burning feet. Once a daft, dreary, isolated individual, now an uplifting, musical, symbolical soul. End poem. And Jenny was inspired by prompt number 2, which was Ionization by Edgard Varese. And your thoughts, Rex?
The turning of the page, isolation drumming in my head, being alone, isolation, banging, clicking, bring me back from hell, ionization, harming my brain cells, making me long for death, that isolation, bringing on the want, the need, out, so to speak. But then the turn of that second stanza, slowly the pounding turns suave and domineer, bringing joyous music to my ominous ears. So you get that dark note offering up the intro, which commingles itself into another realm, opening up the thought and the music, and still within the ominous ears, but now it's brought forth something else. That isolation, rejoicing and dancing to my runaway tears, the idea of being met in the moment with something beautiful that offers up something where the percussions slam away secret fears. So you've gone from the darkness into a note touch where the beauty pulls back everything, pulls back the veil across your eyes, and all of a sudden, all that pain, the headaches, the trauma, whatever, subsides, ebbs away, and offers up that note to something more pleasant coming in the coming days, weeks, months, and then to finish out. Once a draft, very isolated individual, now an uplifting, musical, symbolic soul. The idea of not just a piece, maybe a bit of I can't think of the word. A little bit of, I don't know, a little bit of magic, maybe. That's not the word I want. Spirituality.
That's a good word for it. I like that. I like that. I would have been more helpful, but I couldn't quite grasp what word you were thinking of. You know, there must have been a wall up because I couldn't read your mind. But I thought that was a wonderful comment there, Rex. And yeah, it really is a journey of the mind from the negative and the dark to the positive. I was looking, and I probably knew this before, but I had to relearn it. Ionization is the process by which an atom or a molecule acquires a negative or positive charge by gaining or losing electrons, often in conjunction with other chemical, I think it says chemical reactions or something like that. But anyways, I like how she took that concept and applied it to the way our minds, our spirits react to music, you know, and how music can inspire or start up certain emotions and start up the process of emotions changing. And I like how she starts this out as dark, and that idea of just feeling the darkness. It feels like it speaks on depression, but then in comes the music and there's this change. There's that going from that negative charge to that positive charge, adding those electrons that the brain needed in order to really soar and experience the music. Beautiful lines all the way through, but I do particularly like that second stanza with the line, bringing joyous music to my ominous ears, rejoicing and dancing in my runaway tears. I let the percussion slam away my secret fears. There is something so, with the rhythmic feeling of percussion, there's something that really just lifts and you know, allows us to release that almost, I don't want to say animalistic, but that baser nature of ourselves that just wants to scream out every emotion. You know, so I think the wonderful lines all the way through. I'm actually very impressed with the rights for this contest. So very well done. And what do we have next, Rex?
The Push Into Motion by Ben Hart. The Stage. Follow me into the fall, into the absence of existence, the in-between of all, the well from which we drink visions, the writhing knotted ropes, the weaving of galaxies unraveling, nebulous kaleidoscopes infinitely shattering into seeds and grains that feed the plains, become fruit in the orchard of mystery, proof there is no such thing as atrophy, only apathy with age. Nothingness is rich in the mirror of divinity because it is the stage where architects dance with contrast and distance, where stars once learned to shine, where water first met tide and together birthed violence, but also peace. It's what keeps us from tearing out our eyes. It's where we hide our lives, and immortality resides in the passing of time. It's the journey. Blessed be infinity. Blessed be the rise. The Dancer. Girl, who has her picture on my wall? Are your favorite days the ones where rain cast shadows of itself upon the frame I kept you in? Are you not tired of the steps the pianist has you scale, always halfway up the hill to the glimpse of you before he sends you down again? And the rise, as if though the push from hands on the waist turns to wings, will see you fall for the same false promises. The fiddler on the corner made, whose parting of notes by guiding, trembling into motion, saw twilight dawn over Paris once more as the hour grew late. And you had your picture taken, and for just the lint under my fingernails, I found a way to keep something a little bit infinite prisoner in my pocket in case plan A fails and the dancing stops when I'm not looking. The actor, he needs to touch someone out of reach, make them feel the drunk caress that is being alone, but sort of okay with that because it's 2 a.m. and where the fuck are you gonna go? When the streets are asleep, he needs the quiet to exist in something to defeat, to convey the echoing in the skin of writhing against the drink. He needs them to believe that he's tried everything, but failed to lure them in, and he knows where he has them, right where he wanted, believing something to miss the point of all the tricks, that even his character is in disguise, and that all these people do is suffer for something we're not meant to get.
Wonderful read there, Rex. And what a beautiful and thoughtful vignette by Ben. I always enjoy his writing. Of course, I can't help but think of the quote by Shakespeare, all the world's a stage and we are but mere players, or slightly paraphrase of that, I'm sure, but you know what I mean. You know, the first part with the stage is, you know, everything's set and we feel ourselves ready to grow, to plant those seeds. Infinity shattering to seeds and grains that feed the plains become fruit in the orchid of mystery. Proof there is no such thing as atrophy, only apathy with age. Nothingness is rich in the mirror of divinity because it is the stage where architects dance with contrast and distance. And I like how that speaks on how the world grows best when we look at it in from different viewpoints. I like the spirituality in the line. I like how the second part speaks on love, on those memories of love, on those things that we wish we could have back but probably won't. And I really like the fiddler on the corner whose parting of notes by guiding trembling into motion saw twilight dawn over Paris once more as the hour grew late. That is just stunning imagery to represent the music that plays as life is fading. And a nicely dropped F-bomb in the third part, which, you know, adds a nice, because, but sort of okay with that because it's 2 a.m. and where the fuck are you going to go when the streets are asleep? He needs the quiet to exist in something to defeat. That really, to me, speaks on the depression, the sadness and anger that hit at nighttime. And there's such a strong feeling of different emotions that bombard you throughout this whole, you know, epic rite, believing something to miss the point of all the tricks, that even his character is in disguise, and that all these people do is suffer for something we're not meant to get. It's that whole idea of trying to understand life, trying to understand fate and whatever higher powers are out there, and what purpose. I like that this speaks on trying to figure out the purpose of suffering and having that be the eternal question of mankind. So wonderful, right, and very well done. And your thoughts, Rex?
Well, he set this right. The stage is apt. It does follow that note to Shakespeare, all the world's a stage, and we are but merely players upon that stage. And it walks in that realm, the idea of the back end of this, and immortality resides in the passing of time. It's the journey. Blessed be infinity, blessed be the rise. That note to no matter what, the world, the stage still keeps turning. Now, the other two, the dancer and the actor, also play out that note because of the stage itself. And like Morrison once offered up, like a dog without a bone, actor out of loan, riders on the storm. Now, the second one, the dancer, it hits on that idea of age. Are you not tired of the steps of penis as you scale? Always halfway up the hill to glimpse the view before he sends you down again. And the back end of that, and you had your picture taken, and just and for just the lint under my fingernails, I found a way to keep something a little bit infinite prisoner in my pocket in case plan A fails and the dancing stops when I'm not looking. Again, age kind of hits on that plan A fails. It could be injury as well. Now, the back end actor, actor out of loan, so to speak, the actor does need to touch someone out of reach. That's the angle, just like the dancer. They're putting on a face, all of the proper protocols and motions, as well as the conversation that brings their character to life so that they can imbue that thought within you. And but just like that, make them feel the drunk caress that is being alone, but sort of okay with that because it's 2 a.m. and where the fuck are you, where the fuck are you going to go? There's that idea again. They are out. They're always playing someone else most of the time. And when you get to see them as themselves, they're not very much the same people unless they keep that face on most of the time. And sometimes that becomes the burden itself, writhing against the drink. He needs them to believe that he's tried everything but failed to lure them in. And he knows when he has them right where he wanted, believing something to miss the point of all the tricks. Again, that note to making you believe in the character themselves by using all the tricks of the trade. That even his character is in disguise, and all these people do is suffer for something we're not meant to get. The idea of putting so much effort into the character that you become the character, and you sometimes you suffer for it. Take on a look at Heath Ledger. He died just a few months after his famous Joker in the Batman movie.
Yeah,
he died on other actors who died over the years too. So.
Really cool in-depth observations there, Rex. I like that. I like that. Awesome. Awesome. All right. And what do we have next?
Holly Dutrio by Weaver Greens and Dakota SoundCloud.
All right. Let's see here. And here we go.
This music is the soundtrack to my tale. The fear I feel as the room begins to chill. The warning I get that he is drawing near. For months now the evil intensity has grown. It takes the form of deadly, cruel, evil intimacy. Cold, sharp bites upon my neck, leaving no marks. Rough, coarse hands with talons sharp as knives, searing the skin as they are drawn down my thighs, with nothing to show as proof of this haunting entity. I no longer go to bed, as what was inflicted on my body when I lay paralyzed was probing fingers and a tongue that each night grew more and more intrusive and painful. It's growing careless, however, forgetting I'm able to move. So when I feel its hands, I'll know where its heart's located. Then Grandma's silver carving knife will tear we two apart.
Wonderful reading right there, Kate. Thank you for the SoundCloud. It is very much appreciated. And Rex, your thoughts?
Well, there is a note that you get the idea of a succubus type creature with this thing. But by the time you get to the end of this, the idea is a little bit more involved. It's the madness within someone because it's grown careless, however, forgetting I'm able to move. So when I feel its hands, I'll know where its heart's located. Then Grandma's silver carving knife will tear we two apart. The inference being that taking oneself because the monster is them as a whole. Reality dawns there. The note to duality firms itself up in that last couple of lines is a note of understanding in the moment and having the wherewithal to actually accomplish that feat by plunging the knife into her own chest.
I like that. I like that. Very cool observation. Great comment. Yeah, you know, Kate, she has such a gift for storytelling, especially dark stories. And I like that she took this music that did have a more of a haunting and dark tone to it. And it brought forth from her this story of intimacy with evil. And I like that it's a mythological story, but it's also a story symbolic of rape and sexual abuse, you know, at least to me it is. And going that transition from victim to fighter, you know, and rough, coarse hands with talons sharp as knives, searing the skin as they are drawn down my thighs with nothing to show as proof of this haunting entity. And then I like how she brings at the end, it's growing careless, however, forgetting I'm able to move. So when I feel its hands, I'll know where its heart's located. Then Grandma's silver carving knife will tear we two apart. And I like that it isn't just a silver carving knife, but Grandma's silver carving knife. And so there's passed down almost like this idea a sense of strength, a sense of courage and a protection passed down from generation to generation. So an excellent dark tale and very well done. All right, Rex, what do we have next?
Stairway to Oblivion by Arcana. And SoundCloud.
All right. And here we go.
A gentle breeze sways the winsome trees that flows contentedly on doleful breaths beneath a gilded portrait of sapphire sky, delicately framed by cascading clouds. Solace sails upon whispering wings in sorrowful streams midst rippling dreams, wading through glades of soft serenades to stroke somber shores with an ebbing caress. Naked dances pirouette on floating aries, swimming through melancholia's swirling seas that melt into torrents of aching beauty, to fade in the ethereal mists of time. Drifting the veils that surrender to sleep, angels gracefully flutter celestial ballets upon the pastel hues of spilling silence, soothing the somnolent spells of slumber. A harmony of heart's ease cradles in comfort as eternity sighs forth a peaceful pause, embracing the gossamer wings of wishes that ascend a stairway to blissful oblivion.
Wonderful read and write there, Arcana. Thank you for the SoundCloud. It is very much appreciated. I tell you, he always does a wonderful job with his reads. His performance, the way he balances the background music with his reading so that neither one overwhelms the other. This has a nice, delicate use of alliteration, beautiful imagery. I like how it creates and presents this sense of movement and sensuality that comes with the music. I really like solace sails upon whispering winds and sorrowful streams mist rippling dreams, wading through the glades of soft serenade to stroke somber swords with an ebbing caress. It's the way the music touches and haunts the mind, the heart that hurts, that feels lonely and wants to connect with something out there. I also really like swimming through melancholia's swirling seas that melt into torrents of aching beauty to fade in the ethereal mist of time. Drifting the veils that surrender to sleep. You know, that idea of, it speaks to me, especially those lines and the end lines, on feeling so much pain and so much, you know, despair and just wanting to escape from it, you know, wanting to just drift off into those the arms of the dreamland and sail away to where, you know, the pain can't get you. And that's as if the music itself were those arms that lifted you up and held you close and comforted you and brought you to that point of oblivion. Beautifully written and very well done. And your thoughts, Rex?
Well, the title offers up something dark and ominous, but I didn't get that. The thought of opening up a gentle breeze sways the winds and trees that flows contentedly on doleful breath beneath a gilded portrait of sapphire sky, delicately framed by cascading clouds. Now, that hits on the idea of laying back in a field, gazing up and seeing what is framed right there. Clouds making the frame, sapphire sky. So you're hitting towards that end of day where the blue is getting darker, and you've got a nice soft breeze flowing through. When the solace hits on that idea of relaxation, a hard day, maybe travails and trials have given you a touch of of something that holds heavy, but you can look at the scenery and feel it, the whispering winds, sorrowful streams, mist rippling dreams. Everything gets a little cloudy in the moment, you're drifting half eyes closed, so to speak, winging through glades of soft serenades to stroke somber shores with an ebbing caress. Now that hits on a nice, beautiful lake where you can hear that ebbing water up against the shoreline, a nice caress of the naked dancers pirouette on floating arias, insects. So this all walks forth, hitting on that note of being in that arena and just melting into it and then falling asleep, where all of a sudden, hey, the day is done, it's gone, and you are off to the oblivion being the note of peaceful sleep.
I like that. I like that. Beautiful thoughts there, shared, Rex. Finding that sense of peace within sleep. Very cool. All right. And what do we have next?
Tranquil Illusions by Arch Dune DeVille. In soothing motion, the boat does sway. Amidst sea's tranquil display, peaceful waves rock its way, into a state of calm you lay. But in this beauty, danger looms, as creatures hide in watery tombs, and when the night's moonlight zooms, their tentacles rise like scary plumes. Deep down the abyss does glow, a mystery we may never know. Standing here in tranquil show, see secrets we cannot bestow. Reflect you must in peaceful trance. Let life's burdens take a chance, for the sea's vast expanse may give you a memorable dance. Beware of the creature's might that lurks beneath out of sight, ready to drag you in its plight through the ocean's darkest night. Embrace the stars and ocean's sweet sound as they guide you the sacred ground, but be cautious, dangers around at sea where mystery is profound. So take a breath, open your eyes, sea holds many a surprise, some peaceful, some in disguise. Always keep your guard, be wise. And poem.
Wonderful read there, Rex. I think you have a great voice for that poem. Well, for every poem you read, but there was something about your voice that matched really well with this particular read. I was really glad to see that Archdoom was inspired. This contest actually came up when we were featuring him on Headliners Ball. It happened to come up a conversation of music, and we're talking classical music, and I mentioned this in that contest, and when I mentioned the name Satie, he said that was one of his favorites, and that to send him the link. And I like how he was inspired actually by two of the musicians. The Satie, he says in his AN, the calm is inspired by Satie, the suspense is inspired by Dutilleux. I thought that was very cool, the way he combined the elements of both of them. This has great rhyme and flow, wonderful imagery. I like how it speaks on the beauty and power of nature, and especially the beauty and power of the ocean. It can be so tranquil and so beautiful, and yet such a source of profound danger. I really particularly like reflect you must in peaceful trance, let life's burdens take a chance, for the sea's vast expanse may give you a memorable dance. Beware of the creature's might that lurks beneath out of sight, ready to drag you in its plight to the ocean's darkest night. I like how that speaks of mythological creatures or even real creatures. The sea, it's so vast and so much unexplored that there is a sense of mystery and danger to it. And it is so fascinating. And he manages to hold that tone throughout the entire rite, keep it, you know, grabbing a hold of and keeping our attention on the beauty and the power of water and the movement beneath its depth. So a wonderful rite on learning to be on guard against danger, and very well done. And your thoughts, Rex?
A sailor's note to reality, going back 400 or 500 years. Easy note up top, soothing motion to boat to sway, the rocking motion, especially when you're in a hammock below decks, into a state of calm you lay. But in this beauty, danger looms as creatures hide in watery tombs. And when the night's moonlight zooms, their tentacles rise like scary plumes. The old maps used to say, because they thought the earth was flat, when the maps they had on the outlines, there be monsters here, or there be dragons, something along that line, because they couldn't see the they could see the horizon, but they couldn't see the curve or anything beyond. So they thought, when you get to that point, you just drop off the other side, and that's where the monsters be. And again, deep down the abyss does glow, a mystery we may never know. Standing here in tranquil show, see secrets we cannot bestow. And again, second line, embrace the stars and ocean sweet town as they guide you to a sacred ground. But be cautious, dangers around at sea where mystery is profound. Again, this goes back to the wooden sailing ships and the idea of always keep on your guard, be wise. That's why you had a crow's nest, and you always had someone up on deck in the crow's nest to make sure things were going right.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yep. Great observation there. I like how, yeah, it does read like a seafaring tale of a sailor who really knows the sea. I'm glad you read that part, deep down the abyss does glow, because I meant to bring that up and mention that it makes me think about the angler fish, you know, the one that has the glowing antenna that it uses as bait. And the other, like, deep sea fishes that are just really ugly creatures, but a lot of them do have luminescent properties. And that's what that made me think of. So very cool, very cool. And all right, and what do we have next, Rex?
Melodies of Magic and Trickster Gods.
Ah, oh yes, yes, that troublemaker. All right, well, let me go ahead and close my door because the dog just pushed it open, so, you know. I have to read my poetry behind closed doors. All right. And getting back to where I need to be. All right. So I wanted to write to one of the prompts that hadn't been taken. So I actually went and found a different song that wasn't in the contest, but was one of our artists. I wrote to Symphony Number 6 by George Antheil, and it goes like this. To live is to drown within the swirl of cosmos and feel the splinters push beneath the nail beds, that every chord may strike a nerve and allow spirits to dance upon Milky Way shores of ancient streams. Melodies of magic are rising and falling, becoming dreams in the land of giants, where angelic horns blast the epiphany of brass horns and drums carved from bones. The groom and his eternal bride are waltzing, capturing snippets of time as they claim the ballroom floor, pounding hearts, speaking in the rhythm of waves renewed. With each rising moon, fullness exposed, trickster gods march across the plains and ponds, confronting authority with a resounding strike of gongs, within the molecules of life anchored upon the shell of the old tortoise. Yawning silence welcomes the notes that come unraveled from the loom of time. The creation of stars, blooming vines, and epistles of oaks are the great presentation of humanity and sexuality, leaping to the silhouette of rain. Etchings upon marble towers, rising from the blue earth of emerald fields, expanding divinity in woven carpets. End poem.
My friend. All right. Passage of time, pain and death. Feel the splinters pushed beneath the nail beds. That's grating. Upon Milky Way shore adventure streams, going back in time but coming forward, melodies of magic arising and falling, becoming dreams in the land of giants. Again, Nephilim range, where angelic horns blast the epiphany of brass horns and drums call from both. Again, death. And this one, the groom and his eternal bride are waltzing, capturing snippets of time as they claim the ballroom floor. That denotes the eternity of ghosts in the moment. Pounding hearts, speaking the rhythm of waves, renewed, kind of hits on the idea of life renewed, but not, because you've got something lingering in the background, and that is death. Trickster gods, confronting authority with a resounding strike of gongs when the moment is like anchored upon the shell of the old turret, the tortoise. The old tortoise, there's something with that. There's, was it the Maya? Who had the tortoise was the one that delivered Earth onto its realm. Anyway. And then again, you hit yawning silence, welcomes the notes that come unraveled from the loom of time, which paints the three gods of the loom. The one who runs the loom, the one who feeds in the thread, and the one who cuts the thread when time has expired. As you hit on that again with the expanding divinity and woven carpets. Divinity on that note kind of hits on the idea of placing those notes to myth and magic within the carpets to offer up a story told. But the story is always short.
I like that. Wow. You know what, Rex? I always enjoy hearing your in-depth and intelligent and really just thoughtful comments. It really puts a smile on my face. So thank you. All right. What do we have next?
We have... A nocturne turned or bayed. On elevated down from earnestness, music drowns space. Magic moments are rare for rodents wrestling in rat race. Soft notes are anathema to hard tongues, like parents mailing their children Valentine cards. Pianos are complicit in arrangements from surreal to sublime. Sound supplies flight from intensity. A tune without lyrics is insult to literacy competency. Leave spite to Chuck Mangione and Liberace. Language offers reference for harmonious drift from conscious. Pianos are not for playing in alternate dimensions. Piano strings are serious expression of artist discretion. I listen to melody to improve my mood. When doors open, we dance, waltz. Of the misconstrued and poem.
Great read there, and what a wonderful write. What a absolutely wonderful write by Bill Schiller. I was looking up Chuck Mangione, who was apparently, and you probably already knew this, an
trumpeter.
American flugel. What's that?
A trumpeter.
Ah. Yes, an American flugelhorn player, trumpeter, and composer. He came to prominence as a member of Art Blakey's band in the 1960s and later co-led the Jazz Brothers with his brother Gap. And I am curious, what is a flugelhorn? Oh, I actually played something very similar looking to that. I played the cornet actually, I wanted to play the trumpet, but my parents couldn't afford the trumpet because they were given a free cornet for me to play. But anyways, I really found this a beautiful and intriguing rite. I thought it was quite thought-provoking in where it says, where is it? Magic moments are rare for rodents wrestling in rat race. Soft notes are anthema to hard times, like parents mailing their children's Valentine card. Pianos are complacent in arrangements from surreal to sublime. Sound supplies flight from intensity. A tune without lyrics is insult to literary competency. You know, I feel like, and I could be wrong, but I feel like this poem is somebody arguing with themselves and saying, you know, the lyrics are the most important part of the music. No, the notes are the most important part of the music, and how each side misunderstands the other side, because really both parts are needed to create that beauty and balance within music. I really like the nod to the piano. Piano strings are serious expression of artist discretion. Wonderful lines on how we all have different interpretations of what is good music and what isn't. At least that's how I read it. So wonderful write and very well done. And your thoughts, Rex?
It's a bite at taking music and turning it into music to pump into elevators. That idea of music drowns space. Magic moments are rare for rodents wrestling in rat race. The idea, you can pump in that crap, but it isn't magic for the people inside, because you note it sounds droll. It's not the real music that's offered, because it's a complete fornication of what once was, instead of piping in the real thing. The thought of taking a pop song and just turning it into a little squiggle of nothing but the background music itself, and it's not even the original background music. It is just a made-up version for that sphere. That's the idea. And the same thing with taking pianos. Pianos are not for playing in alternate dimensions. They're not. You don't get to appreciate the sound as it comes through an elevator speaker. It's meant for a little bit of open space so it gets to breathe, just like any music. And it bites at the idea of all the music in that note is supposed to offer up a calming atmosphere, but for most people, you just come out all revved up on the back end as misconstrued, because the music has been turned into something which it was never meant to be in the first place.
I like that. And yes, oh my gosh, there is such a truth to that, and the idea of what is the true music, the music that really speaks to the soul, and what is just empty garbage that does nothing to inspire observations. All right. And what do we have next?
Where Fireflies Dance by Stellina. You got a SoundCloud.
Oh, and we got a SoundCloud for that. All right. Well, I am sorry that Stellina couldn't make it tonight, but I am happy that she was inspired to write for the second contest. So here we go.
Peace of the forest flows through his melody, sung by the whispering wind through the trees, infusing the night with magic and a mystery, which arouse the senses with dreams that tease. Cares and woe are banished from the mind, and in their stead walk calm and serenity. Sisters of compassion for those who find themselves in the dark, lacking temerity. Sweet, silken notes, serenading moonbeams, where fireflies dance on the wings of night, when all is no longer as it seems, and deepest fantasies swiftly take flight. Carried to the stars on a carpet of crescendos, rising and falling like waves of the sea, softly fading in drifting diminuendos, as the soul is cleansed of melancholy. Music hath charms to soothe the savage breast, to soften rocks or bend a knotted oak. It can ease the sorrow of the bereft, when pain and heartache it will surely stroke.
Wonderful read and write, Delina. Thank you for the SoundCloud. It is very much appreciated. And Rex, your thoughts?
Well, that is the right note. I like the back end of this. She dropped in that the correct quote there, music hath charms to soothe the savage breast, and finish it out with to soften rocks or bead or bend a knotted oak. That's the full quote. And the correct one, everybody goes with the savage beast, but it is breast, from William Condrey's. Let's see. As she flows with the poem, peace of the forest flows through this melody, sung by the whispering wind through the trees, infusing light with magic and mystery, which arouses senses with dreams that tease. Again, that kind of I hit that thought with where the laying in a field and that one piece with the sapphire sky. I think that was our canon, wasn't it? No, that was someone else. Anyway, framed by clouds. That hit on the idea of walking into the dream world. By relaxing under a beautiful sky, this kind of hits on the same note, but with a darker angle of the peace of the forest. So you get a little bit more of a note to the surroundings, the trees, the insects, the woodland creatures, so to speak. So it offers up maybe even a darker note to twilight. Cares are more banished from the mind, and in their stead walk calm and serenity. Sisters of compassion for those who find themselves in the dark, lacking temerity. Dark reference there is maybe the darkest mind. The sweet silken notes, the moonbeam, yes. So just walked into the angle of enjoying that beauty by sitting or lying within a forest in the evening and watching the moon rise through the trees, maybe hear the soft notes of water flicking, and as well as the fireflies. You don't get to hear them, but you see that little blinking ground level, as you also see the blinking starlight too. So you get a nice calming note to the thought of what actually means something in the moment, far beyond the angle of a hard day.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I have to agree with that, that there is a sense of finding comfort at the end of a difficult day. I thought this was a wonderful take on her chosen prompt. Beautiful imagery and metaphors. I like how this speaks to me and of course, as always, a nice, lovely use of alliteration. Very heartfelt and emotive, and it speaks to me on the comfort that music brings to the bereft spirit, and not just music, but also nature. As you mentioned, the fireflies, I remember chasing fireflies around in the dark as a child, and there was something so magical about it. And you just feel like, as a child, before you understand the science of fireflies, that you're looking at something from the realm of the fae. And I really like that. Sweet silken notes, serenading moonbeams, or fireflies dance on the wings of night when all is no longer as it seems, and deepest fantasies swiftly take flight and carry to the stars in a carpet of crescendos, rising and falling like waves of the sea, softly fading and drifting diminuendos as the soul is cleansed of melancholy. And, there is such a cleansing element to music, to listening to music, to playing music, but also to the nighttime and how it changes our perception of things and allows our mind and our heart to be opened up. So wonderful write by Stelina, and very well done. And what do you have for us next, Rex?
She Composes by My Angel Stream.
Is it my turn to read? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry. Okay. Good thing you're keeping track. All right. She composes like her soul set her heart ablaze, and her pen is extinguishing the flames. She belts out tunes like betrayal left, her blood frozen, and her voice is thawing her veins. She plays guitar like the strings are her disgraces, and her nails scrape away the shame. She dances like plague rats destroyed her psyche, and her feet stomp away the pain. She lashes out like crazed hornets, haunt her spirit, and her hands are weapons of rage. She cries like life left her shattered, and her tears are warm, healing rain. She prays like her wings were ripped off, and her pleas will grant her flight again. End poem. Wow, what an absolutely powerful and beautiful write. And your thoughts, Rex?
There's a lot of anger. Well, I guess you'd have to, because the pic sits with that note of her kneeling with a violin in up against the chin, strings all cut up, a saber in one hand, and various other instruments broken and plus pages written or pages thrown all over the ground. So there's a sense of anger on that note. She composes like a soul set her heart ablaze, and her pen is extinguishing the flames. There's a need in that moment, a needed expression. Again, the same thing. Belts out the tunes like betrayal left her blood frozen and her voice is thawing her veins. She plays guitar like the strings are her disgraces, and her nails scrape away the shame. She dances like plague rats destroy the psyche, and her feet stomp away the pain. There is a lot more going on with this, because it walks it isn't just the fact that she used a musical reference point, but it goes deeper than that, because something has happened, something deep, dark, and unrelenting is coursing through her soul. And the need to extinguish all of that which comes with it is playing hard against her. It's like seven stages of grief is being writ out, yet she still hits on that back angle. She prays like her wings were ripped off, and the pleas will grant her flight again. That kind of offers up the idea of someone who's bespoiled, lost their way. I don't know.
You know what? I can definitely see that, and I think you've made some great observations on the artwork and the right. There definitely is that representation of anger, of and sadness, because I think oftentimes anger is how we show our sadness when we become hurt, and there is a deep pain here, a kind of pain that comes from years of betrayal and hurt. And I really liked this rite. It was beautifully done, beautiful flow of words, and a wonderful reminder that I thought it spoke on the expression of dance and music to convey the thoughts within, and was a really powerful reminder that music doesn't just represent our positive emotions. It doesn't just represent love and happiness and kindness and everything going right. It represents our anger, our sadness, you know, our disgrace, and just the pain that we feel. And I like that she brought both the music and the dance in this. You know, I really like she plays guitar like the strings are her disgraces, and her nails scrape away the shame. She dances like plague rats destroyed her psyche, and her feet stomp away the pain. You see within those lines the abuse this woman has gone through, and how the music and dance is a representation of her inner turmoil. So wonderful lines and very well done. And what do you have for us next, Rex?
Piano Man in Silhouettes by Mystic Muse. His music, soft and so sublime, I feel he plays it just for me. I find that I am lost in time with each and every melody. Each note is perfectly in key and beautiful as soft chiffon. The morning sun is his marquee and urges him to still play on. The water stands silent and still, birds sing in venerating praise. Hypnotized, I lose my will in awe of every song he plays. Clouds move in a rhythmic dance, and nature smiles with sweet delight. All creatures awed by the romance, they marvel at this wondrous sight. His music, manna to my soul, until I die I won't forget. My heart shall evermore extol Piano Man in Silhouette. End poem.
Wonderful read there, Rex. And a great write by Mystic Muse. I'm always glad when Dave is inspired. This has wonderful imagery, great rhyme and flow. I like that it makes me think of Billy Joel's Piano Man. And I think the phrase Piano Man in Silhouette is a wonderful one, because it's like that idea that you don't need to see the Piano Man. You know, you just need to hear the music, because it's not the physical person that speaks to you, but rather their soul that comes through in the music. I thought this had a wonderful imagery, and it was an amazing write on the way music connects with the soul and nature. I was especially fond of the second, third, and fifth stanzas, and thought chiffon and manna were just perfect word choices. You know, the manna that sustenance provided in the 40 years of wandering in the desert to the Hebrew people, a representation of something that completely nourishes the soul, his music manna to my soul. And then, of course, I thought chiffon was a great choice. Each note is perfectly in key and beautiful as soft chiffon. The morning sun is his marquee and urges him to still play on. So you see within those lines the idea of somebody who's so dedicated to their music, so dedicated to lifting other people's spirits with music, even as they're, like, I get the impression of, you know, even as they're leaving the bar, stumbling home, lonely and drunk, he continues to play to offer some hope within that music. So wonderful lines and very well done. And your thoughts, Rex?
They've hidden the bite, the lyrics themselves, and Piano Man is still kind of hits on that. Play me a song, you're the piano man. Play me a song tonight. For we're all in the mood for a melody, and you've got us feeling all right. And that's where he hits it with, hypnotized, I lose my will, in awe of every song he plays. There's that note of hitting the right tone, the uplifting mood, even when everything in the room is kind of down and gloomy. You can depend on the piano man to hit the right notes to give everybody not just an uplift, but a thought that things will get better. And that's the back end of this with, man, it's my soul. Until I die, I won't forget. My heart shall ever extol Piano Man in silhouette, because when it comes to piano bars, you really don't see the guy itself because you're always busy with something else. But you hear the tune, voice, and the music wafting throughout the place. And he's usually not something featured. He's usually the background player that you put there to keep the conversation going, keep the drinks flowing, and keep the customers happy. He's the background player, the music that's almost, in retrospect, it's real music without the tone of the elevator kind.
Oh, absolutely. Great comment. And yes, definitely a wonderful tribute to the real music and the atmosphere of the piano bar. Very cool. All right, let's go ahead and do one last poem for the night. All right, I see we have Smoke. All right, close your eyes, darling. Quiet your spark. There's nothing to see. We hide inside the dark. Listen to my lullaby. Drift into the velvet sky. Listen to my lullaby. Drift into the velvet sky. Do you remember the clouds hanging over our heads, bowed, filled with dreams and soot and ash, crashed down our sorrows, lightning flashed. Our people cried. Just close your eyes. Listen to my lullaby. Drift into the velvet sky. Listen to my lullaby. Drift into the velvet sky. Hush, my darling. Close your eyes. You and I are safe tonight. End poem. And what an absolutely beautiful right. And your thoughts, Rex?
It is a kind of lullaby to might offer up to a child who's having a rough time sleeping because of what's been going on. But that middle stance kind of hits it nicely. Do you remember the clouds hanging over our heads, bound, filled with dreams and soot and ash, crashed down our sorrows, lightning flashed, our people cried. Just close your eyes. There's almost a finality in that note, but the rest walk a different tone of never mind that center angle, because all is quiet tonight. So rest easy. It's safe.
Absolutely. Yeah, this had a a wonderful lyrical quality, and you're right, it does speak as a lullaby to a child. I love the way that this flowed. It had very touching and emotive lines. It spoke from the heart of a parent to their child. And what I like is that it seems to be a lullaby that you can almost see being sung or written in troubled times, you know, and then you're trying to protect your child from the harshness and cruelty of the world. I really like, do you remember the clouds hanging over our heads, bowed, filled with dreams and fruit and ash, crashed down our sorrows, light and flash. Our people cried, just close your eyes. I really like how when it says our people cried. It makes me think of trials and tribulations that people have been through, condemned. It makes me think of the Native Americans and the trials they've been through, or the Jewish people and other people in Nazi Germany, and trying to get through those just cruel and harsh times, and trying to be that gentle voice of love for a child, and that voice of reassurance and those arms of safety. So beautiful, heartfelt, right, and very well done. And I believe we'll have a couple carryovers for next week. Next week I'm actually doing a mix and match show where I'll be grabbing rights from various contests I've ran before, plus probably some open poetry and carryovers. So it'll be a nice variety show. So, Rex, why don't you, and of course, make sure everyone join us tonight, 10 p.m. Eastern U.S. time, for Open Poetry with Fill My Eyes and Company. And Saturday, 12:30 a.m., join Aphasiana and Babbler for Part Sinner, Part Saint. And Rex, tell us what you have happening on Sunday.
It's Mother's Day, so I've got some music up to play with from the likes of, I've got Let It Be by the Beatles. I've got Mama, I'm Coming Home from Ozzy. And Mama from Bob Seger. And Mama from the Spice Girls. And Mama Told Me Not to Come by Three Dog Knife. Mama Said by the Shirelles. And the Rocks of Cradle, Glen Campbell. The Baby, I forgot who did that one, so bloody hell. And The Wish, Springsteen. And Nobody Loves Me But Mama, B.B. King. And Mama, Don't Let Your Babies Grow Up to Be Cowboys by Jimmy Jennings. And Tim McGraw, I Call Mama, as well as what they got. Oh, yes. Merle Haggard, Mama Tried. So there's a variety of songs, two Mama songs about Mama and the things in between. So you've got a, instead of just being the sort of an all things towards happiness for Mother's Day, I offer up a variety to play with so you can actually dig into those. Yeah, Mama told me, but I didn't pay attention. So, yeah, I should have known better.
Absolutely. I like that selection, Rex. Very cool. I think I might try to write to Mama, don't let your babies grow up to be cowboys. Yeah. So, yeah, love it. Love it. Awesome selection. So, and make sure to check out all the contests and topic boards put up by our late night poets, hosts, and hostesses, because you're sure to find something to inspire. And thank you, Rex, for a great show tonight. And thank you to Haps for hanging on the board. And thank you to everyone who is listening while we're on live or will be listening later. And to everyone who wrote for the show, we truly appreciate you all. And have a good night.
Good night.